In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Joining us now, he always has fresh Packers content for you from Forbes Sports and Conley Media. He is Rob Reichel. Follow him on Twitter at Rob Reichel. Rob, thanks for coming on, buddy.
My pleasure. It's been a while. How you doing, Spark?
Doing good. All right, let's start with a position. Well, there's two positions everybody cares about. Let's start with the quarterback position first. And how Clifford and Pratt looked yesterday. My understanding is Clifford looked really good.
Clifford was much better than he's been the majority of the summer, Spark, and I think he's got to do that again tomorrow against Baltimore. And, I mean, no one will come out and say it at this point in time, but I expect him to probably start the game and play at least a half, maybe well into the third quarter. Yes, he needed a day like yesterday desperately, Sparky, because, I mean, we've all seen this through the course of the summer. He's thrown the ball to the wrong team way too many times. He wasn't good last week in the preseason game against Denver. He was serviceable in preseason game one against Cleveland. But, Spark, I mean, there does have to be real concern inside that organization if Jordan Love went down for a month, if they could do anything better than 2-2 in that stretch. And I get it. Not everybody's got backup quarterbacks that can go win you a whole lot of games when your frontliner goes down. Not everybody's Spark has a number one quarterback that can win you a lot of games. But what Green Bay has right now, certainly there and at kicker, which I assume you'll want to get to next, are the biggest two question marks on the football team.
The next question is, do they make a move for a veteran quarterback versus going with the inexperience they have?
Well, I certainly would, Spark, and I don't know how you feel. I don't understand it when some of these front office guys and general managers cling to these guys like the Titanic is going down and that's your life support, right? Why is Sean Clifford your life jacket? Why is Michael Pratt potentially the buoy that you're holding on to as the ship is going down? When a guy like Ryan Tannehill has won almost 60% of his starts as an NFL quarterback is sitting on the street and you've got salary cap room to go and get a player like him or somebody else, whoever it might be, Sparky. Now, again, Clifford might go out and light it up tomorrow and they'll feel absolutely fine about him potentially going into the season. I would certainly have reservations after what I've seen over the course of the summer, but he is a draft pick and we know how this general manager Brian Gutekunst feels about his draft picks. Probably not quite as strong as Ted did, where Ted would stay married to him probably a little longer than he needed to and should have. But Gutekunst typically is going to keep in a 10-person draft class. He's going to keep 9 on the roster and get the other one to the practice squad, and he's going to hang on to him for 3 or 4 years and try to milk everything possible out of them instead of going in a different direction sometimes, Sparky. I'll tell you what, if Clifford really does struggle tomorrow against Baltimore and doesn't have a real solid outing, Sparky, I do think they've got to go out there and turn over every stone and kick every branch possible to try to find their backup quarterback for 2024. It really is a big outing for him and Michael Pratt as well, who has shown signs and shown potential, but is obviously 1 year less in the system, the rookie seventh rounder this year. And he's a little raw, Sparky, but he does have some really, really nifty arm talent. The kid can sling it around a little bit. But right now, if you had to, if Jordan Love missed week 7 to 11 or something like that, Sparky, and you had to go try to win two or three football games with these two guys on the roster, I think it would be a really tough ask for the rest of the guys on that football team to find a way to go out and beat the Bears or the Lions or the Vikings or somebody like that with Jordan Love being out.
Time with Rob Reichel, Forbes Sports and Conley Media. Follow him on Twitter at Rob Reichel. You're listening to Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, with me, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Let's talk about Jordan Love and what he's looked like. Obviously, he signs that gigantic contract extension at the beginning of training camp after he misses a couple of practices. We know how good he looked at the end of last year, in the second half of last year. Do you see any difference? Do you see any improvement? Has he gone backwards? What have you taken away from watching Jordan Love in practice?
No, he's gone forward, Sparky. I thought he was okay last year in the course of the summer, maybe a C+. He's been a B+ probably this summer. And then when you connect the dots and look at the growth he made through the course of last season and the way he finished it out, you know, you talk from mid-November on through that three quarters of that San Francisco game, he had a window in there, Sparky, where he had 23 touchdown passes and one interception. I mean, just stop and think about that for a second, right? If you're driving around right now, if you're a fan, I mean, 23 touchdowns and one interception. As great as Aaron Rodgers was, as great as Brett Favre was, as great as Bart Starr was, all these guys. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, who's for the overwhelming majority of his career had the highest passer rating in the history of the league. He never had a window, Sparky, at 23 touchdowns and one pick in his entire career, even in that year where he threw 45 touchdowns and six interceptions. And I don't think Jordan Love has had quite the summer, for example, Sparky, that maybe that he finished the 2023 season in terms of being that consistently good day in and day out, week in and week out. But you know, obviously, we're going to find out. He's only got to do it, you know, in terms of what matters on Sundays. I would say overall, Sparky, he's had a really good camp. His deep ball is better. I would say he has better chemistry overall with his young group of wide receivers. He and Dobbs have been in rhythm, really good rhythm through the majority of camp, Sparky. Same thing with him and Wicks. Maybe not quite the same extent with Watson, but we know what Watson can do, and you could almost say the same thing about Reed potentially, but we all saw Jordan, you know, what Jaden Reed did last year in terms of setting pretty much, a lot of Packer rookie records in terms of pass catches and things like that. Jaden Reed has a chance to be one of the more dynamic slot guys in the league moving forward. I think Jordan Love's a real dark horse MVP candidate, and maybe not even that much of a dark horse anymore, Sparky. I think he's in the top five in a lot of these things, and I think that's very fair. You know, if you've got a chance to throw a couple dollars on that, I think that's a really good investment, because I think Jordan Love could have a season where he's, you know, 40-8, 40-10 or something like that, Sparky, in terms of touchdowns to picks, and this team could win 12, 13 games, and now he is right in that MVP mix with the Mahomes and the Josh Allens and people like that.
Are we going to be saying at the end of the year, what was LaFleur thinking? Why didn't he get off of Joe Barry sooner after we see what this defensive line does and Jeff Hafley's system and how good this defense becomes?
I thought you were going to say, what was Matt LaFleur thinking kicking a field goal when he was down 8 points?
No. I've moved on. I'm trying.
Well, most of Packer Nation still hasn't, kind of like 2014 Seattle.
No, we don't talk about that on this show. No.
It's a great question, Sparky. You remember back to 2009, and they made great strides that year under Dom Capers, but it really took till 2010 for that defense to become elite and dominant. And I think what gets lost in that 2010 Super Bowl season, because Aaron Rodgers was really good through the playoffs other than that Bears game in the NFC title, is just how dominant that defense became, because they needed that defense in 2010 in every one of those playoff games other than Atlanta to make a stop to win the game at the end, and they did it. And that's what Joe Barry's defenses couldn't do for the most part. Obviously, they would have played another week last year if Joe Barry's defense, you know, up 21-17 with 5 minutes to go, could have held the 49ers out of the end zone, and they couldn't do it. It's going to be an improved defense, Sparky. I feel confident in saying that. I think the scheme change is going to be a positive for the overwhelming majority of these players. I think you could see really, really outstanding seasons from guys like Rashawn Gary, Devontae Wyatt. Kenny Clark's going to be good in any scheme. Quay Walker should take his game up a notch or two. Lucas Van Ness he might have had a breakout year either way, Sparky, whether they were in a 3-4 or a 4-3. I think Lucas Van Ness, the needle, is certainly pointing up on him. But they've got a lot of guys, Sparky, on this defense that I think that scheme change is going to do really well.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
And do some wonders for the one thing that doesn't get talked about enough, I think, Sparky, is the real flaw, the real hole in this defense is you can get gashed in the run game at times, and they haven't been great against the run the last number of years. And if people want to keep Jordan Love and that offense off the field, that's going to be the way to pick these guys apart and to try to gash them a little bit in the run game and then keep the ball 32, 33, 34 minutes and keep the ball away from Green Bay's offense. So they're gonna have to be more stout in that area, because I don't think they're great at the linebacker spot, Sparky. They're probably serviceable at best. I think the defensive front is really good. I think the rookie safeties have impressed, where that defensive backfield should be a real positive. They'll play B+ level football through the course of the year. They're going to be better on that side of the ball, Sparky, but it's going to come down to, can they make a stop, right, at the end of some of these big playoff games to beat the 49ers, to beat the Lions, whoever it is, to beat the Eagles that they wind up playing in the postseason, to get to the divisional round, to get to the NFC Championship game, to get to a Super Bowl. And they couldn't do it ever when they needed to with Joe Barry. They did in those Dom Capers years when they won a Super Bowl 14 years ago now, and that's what it's going to take with Halfley. They might be a year away, Sparky, from being really good, but the move had to be made, and I do think they're heading in the right direction from everything we've seen in camp.
Talking with our guy, Rob Reichel, Forbes Sports. Kindly Media covers the Packers. Follow him on Twitter at Rob Reichel. Let's talk about the rest of this division, Rob. You had mentioned earlier, they might win 11, 12 games, wherever the case may be. A lot of people are picking the Lions to win this division. There are several people that I've seen that are picking the Lions to go to the Super Bowl from the NFC as well. People are all about Caleb Williams being surrounded by a bunch of talent. With the Chicago Bears, the Vikings obviously are the fourth team probably right now, even though Sam Darnold, I think, might have a decent season with the Vikings. How do you stack up this division and why?
Well, I like Green Bay to win it, Sparky, and you know me, I'm the farthest thing from a homer. I think it's one of the three most gifted rosters in the league. It's young, ascending players, kind of like that 2010 title team that Green Bay had, where the needle was pointing upward on the overwhelming majority of these guys. You remember just 4 or 5 years ago, and at the end of Aaron Rodgers' career, even 2 or 3 years ago, most of those guys were aging veterans. So the way Gutekunst has overturned this roster and brought in all this young talent, and the fact they were able to contribute right out of the chute, surprise everybody, get 2 playoff games out of this group last year, they're only going to get better, Sparky. Detroit's in the same group. I would argue the three best rosters in all of football are in Green Bay, Detroit, San Francisco, and Kansas City. I guess those four probably, Sparky, to me, are the best 4 rosters in football. I think what's going to separate it at the end of the day is Dan Campbell. Is he one of these guys? Because I love the Lions roster again, Sparky. They're gifted as heck at skill positions. It's the best offensive line in football. They beefed up the secondary. There's a lot to like there. Jahmyr Gibbs, to me, is a real dark horse to rush for more yards than anybody in football this year, even though David Montgomery is still there. That's the most gifted running back I've seen come into the league in a decade. But, Sparky, can Campbell take emotion out of it and not be the meathead football coach that – I agree with you. I don't think he can. And much like that NFC title game against San Francisco, he's probably going to cost them at some point. He's one of these coaches, to me, Sparky, that can get you from point A to B maybe as far as X and Y even, but he can't get you all the way down the alphabet. He can't get you from A to Z and win a Super Bowl. And I think he's going to be the guy that holds Detroit back. So I think at the end of the day, I give Green Bay a slight edge over the Lions to win the division. Caleb Williams was dropped into the best spot I can remember. Maybe there's better ones, Sparky. Maybe Andrew Luck. I don't know.
No.
Not many, though, where you drop a number one pick onto a roster with that kind of skill level on the offensive side of things and a defense that was in the top 10 in a lot of key statistical categories last year. They've got a chance to be a wild card team for sure, Sparky, and win 10 games themselves. And Minnesota, which does not have a bad roster by any means. There's so much talent at the skill position, especially the wide receiver group in Minnesota. But you're right, they're a distant fourth. I'm going to say Green Bay by a game over the Lions. Maybe I think Green Bay gets to 12 or 13, Sparky. I think the Bears have 9 or 10 and sneak into the playoffs. I think there's three teams from the North that make the playoffs. And, I mean, Sparky, you and I have been doing this a long time. I don't remember this level of offensive firepower in the division in a long, long time.
No. And, again, when McCarthy is back for Minnesota, you know, after this season, if he's decent, you're going to have three really talented young quarterbacks. And then whatever Detroit ends up doing with Jared Goff going forward, but Hendon Hooker hasn't looked horrible for Detroit either. So, I mean, this might end up being one of the more talented divisions as far as quarterbacks go in the National Football League.
It could, because I'd still take Jordan Love over all those guys, Sparky, because the difference between him and I didn't mention this when I said Detroit. The difference between the Packers to me and the Lions still also comes down to the quarterback play, because as good as Jared Goff was last year, and the fact, you know, even though he did take the Rams to a Super Bowl and things like that, the one major difference between guys like Love and Goff is Love can make plays when everything around him breaks down. Jordan Love does not need 10 other guys on the roster or on the offense to win their matchup on a given play. Where Jordan Love can get away with five of those guys winning their matchup, and he can still turn something, turn that play into a positive. And Jared Goff needs 8 or 9 of those guys to win their individual matchup for that play to be successful. You remember the Thanksgiving game last year when Green Bay pressured Goff all day, even got him 1-2 steps off his throwing spot, Sparky, and he couldn't make anything happen. He's a complete statue pocket passer, can't do a whole lot when he's on the move, when he's on the run. Jordan Love can absolutely make all those off-kilter and, you know, off-target throws that, you know, Jared Goff just can't. And that, to me, is the slight separation between Green Bay and Detroit right now. But you're right. If Caleb Williams turns out to be everything they think he's going to be in Chicago, Goff is still a top 10 or 12 quarterback to me. Jordan Love's a top 5. Caleb Williams could wind up in that discussion as well. It's going to be a loaded quarterback division, which means it's just going to be a loaded division then, period.
But you know what the difference is going to be, Rob Reichel? The difference is going to be his play caller is not leaving. Where Ben Johnson in Detroit is going to get a head coaching job. Everybody thought he should have had one this year. So he's going to leave Goff and Hendon Hooker. That's going to be a change. And if Caleb Williams does play well, Waldron in Minnesota, he's going to be out of there. He'll take a head coaching job somewhere too. The benefit that he has, the same as what Rodgers has had his entire time, is you get stability at that play calling position and makes things a lot easier for you.
You're 1,000% right. Everybody expected Johnson to move on. It was maybe the biggest shock of the offseason that he didn't. I think we all got to see firsthand last year when Matt LaFleur was back in charge, fully in charge of his offense, and the quarterback was not changing a third, a quarter, a half, whatever the number was of the plays that Matt LaFleur was sending in. Just how dynamic Matt LaFleur can be in that element of the game. I mean, how many times, Sparky, can you remember through the years when somebody was as open as Luke Musgrave was? It seemed like every 4 or 6 weeks or something like that. The way Matt schemed things up last year and some of the creative stuff he came up with was remarkably impressive. Sparky, there were times I felt like I was watching a Big 12 game on a Saturday afternoon where somebody was, you know, torching Kansas State's defense or something like that as open as some of these wide receivers were. I mean, say what you will about Matt and some of these big games that he hasn't won and things like that. We found out firsthand last year just how good his offense can be, just how good he is period as a play caller when it's not Aaron Rodgers changing plays and making it the Aaron Rodgers offense. And you're spot on, Sparky, that's going to be a huge win long-term for Jordan Love.
He is Rob Reichel. Check out all of his great work at Rob Reichel on Twitter, writes for Forbes Sports and Conley Media. Rob, thanks so much for coming on, man. Have a good weekend.
All right, buddy. Anytime. Thanks a lot.
You betcha. Take care. There he is, Rob Reichel, here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.